as the soldiers fell, he rose up on the third day. He suffered all for me. When he died upon Calvary, Jesus took all my shame and placed it on.
Amen. I appreciate that, and a great song there. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in just a moment, we will read the first 15 verses together. Today, this morning service, I preached about God's standard for giving. And I believe God has a standard, and we must follow His standard. And tonight, I want to preach to you on this subject, the stewardship of life. The stewardship of life. Now, I know what you may think. If we think of being a steward, we automatically think about money. But do you know that money is only a part of the stewardship of life? Stewardship involves all of life. I am to be a steward as a husband. I am to be a steward as a dad. I am to be a steward as a pastor. I am to be a steward as a citizen of the United States of America. You see, stewardship is in every area of life. In fact, mark this down, and I want you to remember this. Stewardship involves my response to God in all of my life. How do you respond to God when it comes to your finances? How do you respond to God? Well, we must fall in line with God's standard of giving. How do you respond to God about being a church member? Do you know that there's responsibilities as being a church member? Brother Ross was with us recently, and I really appreciated the fact that he talked about how that as a church member, we have responsibilities. And because we're in a family, do you know as a family, there's responsibilities. Our children have responsibilities that they have to do. Certain chores, if you want to call them. But it's more than that. It's more than just the work. It's a responsibility to pray for one another. It's a responsibility to love. Responsibility to care. And as God's people, there is a stewardship of life. Now, folks, if you know that you're going to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ one day, are you ready to meet God with the stewardship of your life? You say, what are you talking about? All of life. Your gifts? Do you know that God has gifted each and every one of us? None of us are without any gifts or talents or abilities that the Lord has given us. What about the things that God has placed into your hands? And finances is a part of that. But what about your God-given opportunity, your God-given abilities? It is a stewardship of life. Now, I believe this with all my heart, that my first area of stewardship is my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's my first area. And that is, I'm to steward that. Do you know that I have a privilege and a responsibility to walk with the Lord day by day? But am I stewarding that? Am I taking advantage of the opportunity that God has given me to walk with Him and to talk with Him? I believe my second area is a stewardship of being a husband. Now, I want you to know this, and I believe this with all my heart, that my before being a pastor is being a husband and being a father.
That's right. Amen.
And I will always put them before I put the church because I believe that's how the Lord wants it to be. And you know, as a husband, I'm to steward the privilege of being married to my wife. I mean, that's a great privilege. But I'm to steward that. That means to give time, to treasure the marital relationship that God has given to my wife and I. And we do treasure that, and I thank God for that. But what about my children? You know what? It would be a sad thing if I were to say, and I don't think this or don't feel this way, but I've heard of parents feeling this way. Boy, these kids, I'm telling you, they take so much time. I just don't have time for them. But that's a wrong idea of stewardship. Because stewardship is, God has entrusted me with these children for just a certain amount of time. I mean, soon, you know, they're off and run off and forsake their parents and get married and all of that. I'm just kidding. But you understand that there is a stewardship there. Are we wasting some of the stewardship that God has given us? I don't know. But are we wasting that? Tonight, the stewardship of life. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, this is Paul speaking, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 8 is so important. The Bible says, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Not one is more important than the other. Verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Tonight, the stewardship of life. Now, I want to give you some very simple thoughts tonight that I pray that God would help us. Once a year, as I said this morning, I try to take a few messages, and tonight will be the last message in the kind of this series, a short series, you know, this morning and tonight. But I want to talk to you really and bring it to where we need to bring it to. It is not, as we think about our finances, and I preached about that this morning, it is not shaming people into giving. I don't believe in that. It is not putting people on a guilt trip to make them give. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that it is trying to say, okay, finally I'm going to give and I'm going to do what I need to do. I believe in the whole spectrum of the matter, and that is the stewardship of life. Finances is just one part of that. And when our view of stewardship is right, everything else will be in place. You see, when my walk with the Lord is right, everything else falls into place. Everything is right. But when I'm not right with God, guess what? Nothing is right. You see, the key is to understand that we have a stewardship of life. Number one tonight, I want you to notice this. God created us to be co-laborers with Him. Now remember that point. God created us to be co-laborers with Him. Look back at verse number 9. And Paul is speaking to this church, and this church of Corinth. It's a carnal church. But he noticed what he says to them in 1 Corinthians 3:9. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Now, obviously, in this church at Corinth, there was some division. I don't know exactly what it was. But God gives us an indication. Some were saying, I'm of Apollos. Apollos was a great preacher. Some was saying that, I am of Paul. And he was a great preacher. And then some would say, well, that's not good enough. Someone else. You know, I am of the Lord and not just Paul and Apollos. But Paul was saying, you're missing something. We together are laborers, we are co-laborers with God. And that's something important for us to understand. Folks, we are not coming up with ideals of our own and hoping that God will bless it somehow. Do you understand that we are laborers together with God? Now, I want to explain this. So in order to explain, I think we have to go back to the very beginning. Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter number 1. All right. If you want to find the original intent on anything, go back to the beginning. For instance, we think about God's original intent for marriage. It's one man and one woman. All right. That's God's original intent. God made them male and female. There are not other genders, all right? You say, well, how do we know that? That's just what you think. That's what the Bible says. That's God's original intent. So what is God's original intent with you and me? Do you know that God created us in the original for an intent? And I'm going to show it to you. Genesis chapter 1. And let's begin, if you would, please, in verse number 24. All right, let's just start right there. Genesis 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, notice this, let us, there is God in the Trinity, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And in the Hebrew, it's deer hunting there in the parentheses, all right? They creep upon the earth, all right? Just for my dear lovers that don't like us killing the precious deer, God told us to right there, right? Just telling you, I'm just obeying the command of God, all right? I'm just kidding, verse 27, all right? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now look in verse 27, because I want to show you God's original intent. And it comes with the ideal that we have a stewardship. So God created man in his own image. Let me stop and explain that. What does that mean? What does it mean that we are created in the image of God? All right, well, let me explain this. We were created in the original intent to have fellowship with God. We are created in His image. That means this, that we can talk to God and God can talk to us. That we can labor together with God. We are created in His image. The original intent is that God created us, as He did Adam and Eve, to walk with Him in the cool of the garden. To fellowship with Him, to labor together. Do you know that God created Adam and Eve and they walked with God? They did what God told them to do. Adam dressed the garden and he kept the garden. I mean, that was God's original intent. Adam didn't come up with his own ideal of what he was supposed to do. He obeyed the direction of God. And let me explain this to you. When we talk about the stewardship of life, it is not for you and I to say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and I just hope God gets in on it. Folks, may I tell you that we are to co-labor with God. We are to get in on what God is doing and what God has created us to do. And folks, let me say this to you. God has created us to know Him, to love Him, to walk with Him. And if you get away from God's original intent, I'm going to tell you something. There will come a day where you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and all of your works will be burnt up by fire. That's the very ideal that Paul is telling this church at Corinth. He is saying, you've got all this strife and this division. Don't you understand something? God created you in His image to know Him, to love Him, but to fulfill what He has created you to do here on earth. You are co-laborers with God. Folks, do you know that our church here, we call it Grace Baptist Church, but we're not here just finding out what we're going to do. We are to co-labor with God. God has given us a work to do. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to be witnesses in this dark world. We are to be able to live for the Lord and have that testimony, but to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are co-laborers with Him. I think this is very important to understand that God intended life to be a life of knowing Him and obeying Him. But you know what happened? Adam and Eve sinned against God. Man rebelled against God. And apart from God, man chose his own way. This is why God says we have to be reconciled to Him. And the only way of reconciliation is because of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. But now, what has God intended us to do? We are to co-labor with God. Folks, we are laborers together with God. We co-labor with Him. You know, the idea was this, and I've given this illustration, but years ago I was planting a tree in my yard. Now, I'll be honest with you, I really didn't need my boys' help because they were little at the time. They couldn't hardly dig the grass off the ground, you know? They were just small little boys. But I remember I got out there and I gave them some tiny little shovels, you know? And boy, I was digging and digging and digging. You know, you're planting a tree, you had to dig a hole twice the size of what the actual bulb of the tree is. And boy, we were working on that. We got that in there. You know what they did with me that day? They co-labored with me. But guess what? I could have really done it by myself, but I wanted them to be with me. You know what I wanted them to do? Not because I really needed their help. I just wanted to be with them. I just wanted to fellowship with them. We wanted to laugh together, you know, and we just wanted to spend time together. And folks, I believe that that is God's original intent with us. He had made us in His image because He loved us enough. I want a fellowship with you, and I want you to enter in on the work that I have given you to do. And you know what? That's so precious because God didn't just save us and leave us by ourselves. He says, I'm going to be with you day by day. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is working. We are working with Him. We are co-laborers with the Lord. This involves the stewardship of life. So what does that mean? It means this. As a dad, guess what I'm doing? I don't really know how to be the right kind of dad. But I can co-labor with God to be the right kind of father. I don't really know how to be the right kind of husband. You know what? It would have been nice if someone had given me a book when I first got married, you know. And you know, honestly, there's all kinds of marital books out there. And I think they're great and all of that. But honestly, you think about someone getting married, all right? Do they get a degree in marriage before they get married? Absolutely not. I mean, basically, they have no idea. They just know they love one another, you know. But God doesn't leave us to ourselves. We co-labor with Him. Guess what? I'm to be the right kind of husband to my wife. But guess what? God enables me to be the kind of husband. As I learn from Him, He's the one who created marriage. I am co-laboring with God. This is so important because it involves the stewardship of life. Folks, He is our God and we are His children. He is our Creator. And we recognize that He has created us to be laborers together with Him. Here's something amazing. God made us. Now look, I can't communicate with deer, all right? I must have deer hunting on my mind or something, you know? Maybe it is, all right? But I can't communicate with deer. And some of you think you can communicate with your kitty cat, but you cannot, all right? I just want you to know that right now, all right? And I know that cat, you tell me, can know when you're down and sad. I'm sorry, but I just don't believe it, all right? I just don't believe it because God didn't make that cat to understand you. And God didn't make you to understand that cat. We need to preach right here, all right? I'm joking, all right? But God made us to be able to communicate with one another. God intended that to be. But God made us to have fellowship with Him. He made us in His own image. God didn't have to do that, but He did. He did because of His love, His compassion, His care. And He has given us the stewardship of life that we can co-labor with Him. Folks, if you and I could not communicate with one another, it would be very difficult for us to know each other in a true and lasting way. By the way, what if we took a test and we came to church one Sunday and we said, we're not going to talk at all? That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? You know? Okay. And you know what? We'd say, well, Pastor, we can't do that. That's how we fellowship. That's how we communicate with one another. That's how we know what to pray for one another. That's what, I mean, talking and fellowshipping is a part of it. What if we had no communication? But let me ask you this. Folks, are you really doing the original intent with God? Are you spending that time in prayer? Because when you do not pray, can I tell you what is happening? You are out of fellowship with God, and you are not co-laboring with God. Folks, prayer is not me trying to get God to come around to my way of thinking. Prayer is me laboring with God. Prayer is entering into that time with God, and we labor together in prayer. You see, the right kind of praying is praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is praying according to the will of God. But that means I have to know the mind of God. And the only way I can know His mind is to communicate with Him and to walk with Him. You know, my wife, she can know what I need before I even ask it. How many husbands and wives kind of have that kind of unnoticed, you know, technology, all right, okay? You just know what they need. My wife could tell what our children needed. Oh, they need this, you know. And my thing was just give them food all the time, you know. If they're crying, give them food, all right? They want pizza, give it to them, all right? I don't care. I just need them quiet, you know? But my wife said, no, that's a different cry. That's a cry they're in pain. That's a cry they just need me to hold them and love them. Folks, God knows our cry. We co-labor together with God. That's a part of our stewardship. Listen, folks, here's something very important. God designed man so that he could communicate with man. As we speak a prayer, we are speaking about communication with God. And in that sense, really, our prayer life is the Christian life. God's original intent in creating man was that man would accomplish what God wants to be done here on this earth. Are we doing what God wants to be done? That's the stewardship of life. What are you doing with your finances? Do you know that God has an intent with your finances? Are you co-laboring with Him in the matter of your finances? What about if God has gifted you to teach? Are you laboring together with God in that matter? What if God has given you opportunity to witness? Are you co-laboring with Him? You see, I'm not to witness in my own strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul said, I'm co-laboring with God. I'm just getting in on what God is doing. And God is the one who does the work. This is so important about the stewardship of our life. Folks, think how this magnifies the work that we do and brings so much greater importance to the work when we come to understand that we are laboring together with God. Folks, that brings great importance to the work that God has given us to do. By the way, God has given us all the work that we are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In fact, do you know that we are to be the ones to bring men back into fellowship with God? We are given the work that God has given to us, the work of reconciliation. So, number one, God has created us to be co-laborers with Him. I'm going to say this before I move on. That brings great freedom. It brings great freedom. I can't do the work that God has given me to do. I can't be the pastor. I cannot be the husband that God has created me to be. I cannot be the father that God has created me to be. I cannot be the friend. I cannot be the son. I can't do any of that. But God created me to have fellowship with Him. God created me to do His work, and He invites me to labor with Him. Think of that. You know, in this renovation work, we've had some things that we are able to say, hey, we need some help on this. You know, come and labor together with us on that. Well, guess what God invites us to do? Labor together with Him. We are co-laborers with Him. Number two, as we think of the stewardship of life, God has made us stewards over His possession. Now, I know you may think, well, Pastor, you talked about that this morning, but let me give a different light to it. God has given us the stewardship over His possessions. Now, our days are a gift from God. You know that if God tarries His coming, and if the Lord gives you another day to live, I'm going to tell you something. Monday, October, I think the 12th, is a gift from God. What you do with tomorrow is a part of your stewardship. Guess what? Tomorrow, if God gives us that day, we're not to boast ourselves for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But if the Lord gives us tomorrow, I want to ask you something. What are you going to do with the stewardship of tomorrow? What are you going to do with it? Do you know tomorrow, you are held accountable for tomorrow? That means God will put people in your path that you can witness to. Will you co-labor with Him and tell them of Jesus Christ? Tomorrow, parents, God will give you an opportunity, if He tarries, to be able to co-labor with Him to teach and instruct your children, to love them with the love of Christ, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Husbands, God will co-labor with you to love your wife, to care for her, and to show her the love of Jesus Christ. Ladies, God will give you a day to where you can love your husband, care for him, and meet his needs. And you see, this every day we should look at it as a gift from God, and that day we are to steward that day. Have you ever said at the end of a day, I just wasted this day? How many's ever said that before? Would you raise your hand? I have. But I want to correct me and all of us. No, we did not waste the day. We wasted the opportunity God gave us to be a steward that day. I'm a steward of the days that God gives me. One day, my days will be over. I don't know when that will be. Most of us think it's a lot further than what we really think it is. You see, folks, God has given us a certain amount of days to live here on earth. And the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man, once to die. That means God already knows the day that you will leave this earth and enter into eternity. God already knows that. So guess what? Every day, I am a steward of every day. Now, I know that we got to go to work tomorrow. I've got to go to work. There's things I've got to do. But listen, it's not me trying to force my way through and get things done my way. I am laboring together with God for each day. I want to labor with God. And the only way that I can know what God wants me to do is to spend time with Him, to fellowship with Him. I'm created in His image. We can talk and fellowship. He wants to talk with me. And there should be something in me that wants to talk with Him. And I am to accomplish what He has given me to accomplish. By the way, you know that God has given us a day of worship. Sunday is the Lord's day. That's a special day. He assigned it as a day of worship, and we are to worship Him in spirit and truth. But can I ask you something? How do you steward that day? Or do you take it important? Folks, if the stewardship of life is settled, everything else is settled. If I can say that God has given me life, I've got to steward this life. It's not really mine. It's a gift from God. My wife is not really mine. It's a gift from God. My children, it's really a gift from God. The privilege of being a church member, that's a gift from God. The health, that's a gift from God. Stewardship of life. We co-labor with Him, and we are stewards over His possession. And let me say this to you. Do you understand that being the right kind of child, being the right kind of husband, being the right kind of father and mother and wife, all of that is a part of our stewardship? A person who says, I just don't have time to be a father to my children today, he is sinning against the stewardship that God has given him. He's sinning against it. I wonder how many times I have sinned against the stewardship that God has given me. Look, how is your attitude about what God has given to you? Do you think of your children, boy, these children, bunch of rug rats, I'm telling you what, you know? My dad used to call them curtain climbers, you know? And these kids, I'm telling you, just making my life miserable. You're sinning against the stewardship that God has given to you. What about that Sunday school class that God has given to you? One of these Sunday school classes, I'm telling you what, these kids are so bad, you know? Well, I just don't have time. You're sinning against the stewardship that God has given to you. You see, this involves all of life. It's not just our finances. It's every part. Number three, and the last thing tonight. Not only God has created us to be co-laborers with Him, God has made us stewards over His possessions. But number three, God will bring everyone into account. Go back, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in closing. Folks, there is coming a day when those of us who have been reconciled to God will give an account. What will you give an account of? Your stewardship. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and notice what it says here. It says verse number 8. Notice what it says. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You see how very specific that is and very personal that is? I can't do your labor because I'm not a steward over your labor. I'm not a steward over that. God has gifted me like He hasn't gifted you, and God has gifted you like He hasn't gifted me. God has given me opportunity that maybe He hasn't given to you, but God has given you opportunity that He has not given to me. I am to steward the opportunity and the abilities that God has given to me. I'll just be very honest with you. When I was first understanding that God wanted me to preach, I didn't want to. First I was scared to do it. But the other thing I thought, sometimes people don't like preachers, And I wanted people to like me, And I thought to myself, that is going to be a life that is going to require a deal of sacrifice. I mean, look, you're marked when you're a preacher. Did you know that? Sometimes when people find out that I'm a preacher, oh, you're a preacher, You're one of them, I don't know what that means, but, But there is an identity that takes with that. But God stewarded that to me. I have to preach. I've heard preachers say sometimes, well, if I wasn't a preacher, I'd be doing this. Well, I got news for you. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd be a bum because I don't know how to do anything else, And I'm serious about that because this is what God has given me to do. I believe God enables me to do it. I'm not good at doing it, but He enables me to do it. I co-labor with Him. Sometimes people may say, Pastor, that was a great message. But look, I was just co-laboring with God. I was getting in on God's work. I'm just His messenger. He does the work. You see, that's where we must understand that takes away the division. That takes away the strife. Because it's not me doing my work. I'm co-laboring with Him. He receives the glory. God is the one who gives the increase. We are stewards over His possession. I'm just stewarding what God has given to me. But one day, we will be brought into account. I'm reminded back in Luke chapter 16, I won't turn there for time's sake, but you remember where the steward had to give an account of his stewardship? Remember when the steward, he was managing the affairs of someone else. And remember, the manager showed back up and you know what he said? Give an account of your stewardship. Give an account of what I gave to you. What did you do with it? How did you handle it? Did you invest it properly? Well, I want to ask you something tonight. How are you stewarding God's resources? How are you stewarding God's blessing in your life? Parents, how are you stewarding God's children? How are you stewarding God's church? Look here, we are part of God's church, His church. But guess what? We got to steward that. You have responsibilities to be faithful, to give, a responsibility to pray, a responsibility to love one another, a responsibility to encourage one another. We are stewards, and I will be brought into account one day. Look here, do you understand how serious it is that one day every one of us will stand before God and we will give an account? I'm reminded of the man by the name of John Wanamaker. He lived from 1838 to 1922. Let me tell you about this man. John grew up as a boy in Philadelphia and was a dedicated, church-going, God-fearing boy. One of John Wanamaker's earlier projects was to provide a brick-paved street outside of his pastor's church. The people said, "We have this old muddy place," and young Wanamaker gathered all the money and bricks he could, and made sure that it was done right. Young John was devoted to the Lord and his pastor. Later, at the height of his business career, John Wanamaker had the largest merchandising company in America. He was a benefactor to such Christian causes as YMCA. YMCA used to be a great young men Christian organization, association. The ministry of D.L. Moody and many others. He even served the nation as Postmaster General of the United States. When he was offered the position of the Postmaster General, this is what he said. Now, I want you to listen to this, because here is a man who was, we would call him a layman. There's nothing wrong with being a layman. And here is a man who, he wasn't a preacher, but here was a man who understood the stewardship of life. And this is what he said. He was offered the position of Postmaster General of the United States. He said, "The only way I can take this job is if I can remain as a Sunday school teacher for my class at my church in Philadelphia." He said, "I believe God wants me to serve my country, but a part of my stewardship is also to keep my Sunday school class." Can I tell you something? He was a Sunday school teacher and superintendent for 57 years of his life. You know why? Here's a man very wealthy. Here's a man very busy. Here's a man that said, "I'll tell you what, I'll consider being the Postmaster General as long as I can still teach Sunday school, because there is a day that I'm standing before God. And what really matters is what God has gifted me to do. And I want to do something eternal. And I want to do something that will invest in those boys' lives." Folks, there was a man who understood the stewardship of life. I'm reminded, if you'll take your Bibles in closing and go back to Mark chapter number 14. And I want to sum it up by this. Folks, tonight, stewardship involves all of life. Husbands, you have a stewardship with your marriage. You know, look here, let me say this. And I'll tell you, I'm to blame more than anybody else when it comes to this. We men are conquerors, aren't we? Yeah. And sometimes men have conquered the love of their wife, and then that's it. They don't steward it any longer. They don't think they have to win her heart any longer. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm to blame more than anybody in this. You know what? You're sinning against the stewardship that God has given to you. Look here. What about your church? Are you sinning against the stewardship of your church? Are you praying for one another? Are you giving like you should give? Are you faithfully attending? Are you putting the church before you put other things? You see, you are steward the privilege to come to the house of God and to have a church like Grace Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you something. God has given us a great church here at Grace Baptist Church. And if you don't know that, just go visit for a while. Go to other parts of our country. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll come back and say, "Thank God for Grace Baptist Church." There are people in towns and cities across this great land that would give anything to have a church like this church. Anything. I've had people visit here from different states and say, "Oh, I wish we had a church like this church in our area," but they don't. Are we valuing the stewardship of our church membership? Look what Mark chapter 14. I love this about this woman, Mary. And I want you to notice very closely what Mark chapter 14 says about her. And this is what we are to do. Mark 14, we come. And let's just start in verse number 1, because I think that's the best part, all right? "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, 'Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people.' And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me.
For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. And look in verse number 8. This woman understood the stewardship of life. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And guess what? God knew when that was written that at Grace Baptist Church in Urbana, Ohio, I would preach about this woman. You know why? Because she had done what she could. That is a statement of a person who understood the stewardship of life. Listen, God doesn't ask you to do what He has not given you to do. He does not ask you to do other things that other people have done. What God has given you to do, what He has placed into your hand, you are to steward that. And folks, one day we all will be brought into account. And God is not going to try our work of how big it was. Fire doesn't try the largeness of something. It tries the quality of something, the sort of what it was. God's not concerned about size or quantity. What He is concerned, are you doing what you can do? Tonight, folks, the stewardship of life, that settles everything. And when that is settled, everything will be in its place. I want to ask you a question right now. Are you sinning against the stewardship of any area of your life? Husbands, what about your marriage? Wives, what about your marriage? Parents, what about your children? Church members, what about your church? Folks, what about our privilege and the opportunity that God has given us? We are to steward, we are to labor with Him to reach folks with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, may the Lord help us and may we yield to the stewardship of life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Folks, Father, we thank You for the folks that are here tonight. Father, we thank You for everyone that has come. And Lord, I know that You have a great plan. Help us tonight to understand the stewardship of life, that what we have been given is not ours, but it is to manage for You. Lord, thank You tonight to know that we're not alone. We are to co-labor with You. Lord, help us to come back to the original intent, to where we walk with You and know what You want us to do. We are sensitive to Your leading, to Your direction and Your guidance, and we are co-laboring with You. Father, guide us in this service. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question tonight. How many would say, Pastor, God has dealt with me, and I believe that I am sinning against some area of stewardship that God has given to me. And the Lord has put His finger on it in my life. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? I believe I'm sinning against some area of stewardship. Amen. Amen. Thank You. Thank You for that. How many tonight you say, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me, and I want to co-labor with God in His work. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's what I want. Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Tonight, let's do business with the Lord. Let's let Him have His way. And really, it comes to a matter of surrender and yielding to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You'd bless this invitation time. Lord, help us to yield to You. Thank You for the privilege of getting to labor with You. Thank You for the privilege of stewarding Your blessing and Your resources. And Lord, help us tonight to remember that we will stand before You one day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. Go to hymn number 489. Brother Stevenson's going to lead us. If God has spoken to you, would you leave your seat and come? Find a place at this altar or on this pew and spend some time with the Lord. Hymn number 489. Him in
at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsake Him. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Praise the Lord for His goodness. Tonight I want to thank for listening so very well. And this message I'm stirred up about because it helps me so much, the stewardship of our life. Let's bow our heads in prayer and let's be faithful to the Lord. Father, thank You that we are, Lord, not trying to figure out Your work. We are just laboring with You. But help us as Your people to go back to the original intent. You made us in Your image to know You, to love You, and to walk with You so that we are laboring together with You in prayer and in witnessing. And Lord, help us as church members to know that we have a stewardship of this privilege to come to Your house and to meet together and worship together and pray and love together. Help us, Lord. We love and praise You. Guide us. We pray You'll meet our needs next week at the Sacrifice Sunday. And God, guide us in this building renovation. Lead and direct us and help us to follow You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.